It was like a small village, a few thousand people, and there were like 15 or 20 pubs in it. Mm. And there were almost in every street there was a pub.
Mm.
But that's because the pubs used to be a place where particularly the men went every day, and it was like part of society. I think it's no longer...
It was like your front lounge, really.
Yeah, that's just changed, hasn't it?
Mm,
people have got tellies at home, cheap booze at home. Why do they go to pubs?
I'll be back tomorrow from 5. Don't go anywhere. Breakfast is next.
Across the UK, on DAB Digital Radio, online and on your smart speaker. This is Times Radio, the voice of the times.
Good morning. It's 6 o'clock. This is Stig Abel and Kate McCann with Times Radio Breakfast.
I was going to say people have tellies on their walls at home.
Some people have televisions on their walls.
Even though it's common. I have it, just in case you're coming to this show for the first time. The headlines this morning, Keir Starmer heads to Beijing to improve relations, saying, like it or not, China matters. And Sarah Mullally will be confirmed this morning as the first woman to become the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Ahead, we'll hear from Times Radio's political editor, Anna Mihailova, who's travelling with the Prime Minister to China, and how magnetism is being used to cure depression.
It's Wednesday, the 28th of January.
This is Times Radio.
First with the news, here's Cara Bentley.
Thanks, Kate. Good morning. The Prime Minister's said, like it or not, China matters for the UK. Sir Keir Starmer is on his way to China, where he will seek to build bridges after years of frosty relations. Accompanied by a delegation of more than 50 people from business, sport and culture, he's expected to push for greater trade access. Will Hutton is a political economist and an expert on China and Western relations.
I mean, this is an extraordinary country, and you can't ignore it. You've got to do business with it. But you have to, I mean, the question that we've got to answer is, you know, how close can we get to it? How dangerous is it? How much do we need it? How much could we go it alone? You know, how much do we need to act with other European countries in doing business with China?
As Sir Keir heads there back home, the Times reveals his former deputy, Angela Rayner, has hinted at a return to the front line, with 80 MPs reportedly ready to back her. Many Labour MPs are also still furious at his decision to block Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham from standing to be an MP next month. Dame Sarah Mullally will officially become the Archbishop of Canterbury at a ceremony at St Paul's Cathedral later, the first woman to do so. The former Bishop of London says she wants to look after the flock and welcome newcomers.
I hope that I can be a shepherd to people, to clergy and to churches, to support them, encourage them, ensure that they're supported in the ministry that they do, but also to speak of Christian hope at a time where there is uncertainty, providing hospitality to people.
Donald Trump appears to have contradicted the gun rights group, the NRA, by saying that the protester killed by immigration officers in Minneapolis should not have been carrying a gun. The NRA called similar comments dangerous and wrong, as they support the right to bear arms. The president has softened his stance generally, telling Fox News he's going to de-escalate the situation a bit. On his way to the rally, Mr. Trump was asked about it.
Bottom line, everybody in this room, we view that as a very unfortunate incident, okay?
Right.
Everyone,
right.
Unless you're a stupid person, very, very unfortunate incident.
The Conservatives say a Times undercover investigation exposing evidence that migrants were buying fake jobs to remain in the UK shows Labour has no control over the immigration system. Reporters uncovered people paying employers to be put on their payroll and then returning their salary. Their so-called employment then got them a visa. Shanti Das, senior investigations reporter at The Times, explains how the no-job visas work.
We found agents and companies selling sponsorship for up to £20,000. It's a risky practice for those who buy it, with those caught facing entry bans or deportation. But the potential prize is a chance to stay in the country long term. Under current rules, after 5 years, workers can apply for permanent residency, but only if they can prove they've been working legitimately. The fake paper trail, arranged under these schemes, can be used to prove legitimate continuous employment. So the fact they look real on paper is really critical.
A government spokesperson said, we are investigating this illegal activity and it will not be tolerated. For a roundup of the news on demand, find the Times Radio news briefing on the Times Radio app.
Across the UK, on DAB Digital Radio, on the free Times Radio app, online and on your smart speaker. Times Radio Breakfast with Nationwide.
Good morning. This is Times Radio Breakfast with Kate McCann and Stig Abel. I think it was the great Tapao who once thoughtfully said, "Don't push too far, your dreams are China in your hand. Don't wish too hard because they may come true and you can't help them. You don't know what you might have set upon yourself. China in your hand."
Did you just read out the entire lyrics?
It's the chorus.
Okay.
And it's wise words, Kate, for Keir Starmer to ponder as he is currently hurtling to Beijing on a plane also filled with Peter Kyle, 50 business leaders and a slavering pack of lobby journalists. He's dreaming of what he's called a thaw in Britain's ice age relationship with China, replacing it with something more consistent and profitable. But if that does come true, he might not be much good at helping fix all the problems that China then sets upon us. MI5 has warned about espionage attacks on an epic scale. Starmer's going there, like our journalists, with burner phones and laptops, and maybe even a special tent to get undressed in, because otherwise he could be compromised by a state ever ready to come after him and us. Starmer will be landing in China this morning. We'll work out how he can win or lose there.
As ever, when Sir Keir Starmer is not here, he leaves all sorts of domestic issues behind him. There's the problem of business rates in the hospitality sector, where the Chancellor is offering some support for pubs, but not hotels or restaurants. The Times has an exclusive this morning about illegal migrants being offered skilled worker visas for jobs that don't exist. There's the never-ending speculation about the future of the Prime Minister's leadership ahead of the Gorton and Denton by-election. And Angela Rayner is on manoeuvres, telling supporters, "I'm not dead yet, and I ain't giving those keys to number 10 to Nigel Farage." All of that this morning. Plus, we'll be joined in the studio by Sir Mark Rowley, the boss of the Metropolitan Police, who'll talk to us about the future of policing and how you should no longer judge the safety of the public by the number of officers on our streets.
Elsewhere, we'll hear from the Chief Rabbi about the danger of the Holocaust being forgotten in schools. We'll ask you whether you would trust an AI personal assistant to be all up in your business. And as ever, Kate is unreasonably dictating the content of the show with her ill-formed and non-empirical opinions. Oh no, that's normally me. We're looking at the popularity of ghosts.
Come on. Everyone loves a ghost story.
Speaking of something that creeps up stubborn and ghoulish and haunts us on a regular basis... It's Wednesday, so Giles Corran is with us after 9 o'clock to go through the day's news alongside Jane Moore of The Sun. And Giles Corran actually was, for the first time ever, popular on social media.
He was big on the internet.
He was, because he wrote a little note, but you probably read in the Times yesterday, saying he's not going to take his family to America. Mm-hmm. And liberal Twitter, normally his vaunted enemy, has rolled in behind him to praise him. So we'll see how...
On the same side for once.
We'll see how big Giles Corran's head is. At 9 o'clock this morning.
Do share your thoughts with
get
us
the trundle
as
wheel
ever.
Out, as we
get
said.
The trundle wheel out. Yeah, you can share your thoughts as ever with us this morning. Sir Mark Rowley is coming into the studio later on. If you have got questions for him, if you think there's something that is unanswered about the way that policing works in this country, the Met Police and beyond it, you can WhatsApp us on 0333 003 2353, text us on 87222, start your message with the word Times, or email our producer Emma on studio@times.radio, and we'll put some of those questions to him later on in the programme.
It's here after 8:30. And Mike's got in touch already with a pretty unanswerable question. If Starmer doesn't literally come back with a Ming vase, what was all of this really for? Very true. It is 6:08. Keir Starmer is on his way to China right now as he prepares for the first visit of a British Prime Minister since Theresa May 8 years ago. He says he's going to thaw Britain's ice age relationship with Beijing. Times Radio's political editor Anna Mihailova is mid-air now on the plane with the PM, and she sends us this voice note as she was leaving.
I'm about to board the plane to Beijing with Keir Starmer, where he will be the first British Prime Minister since 2018 to visit China. And he's planning to use this visit to signal quite strongly that the UK must start to engage with China. He's going to say that the UK has been blowing hot and cold for too long, from golden age to ice age with Beijing, and that, like it or not, China matters. Now, this is going to be quite a departure in terms of British government messaging about China, and it comes off the back of several big rows about national security, spying scandals in Parliament, and the whole visit will be absolutely fascinating to see how Keir Starmer navigates these priorities of trying to build economic ties, get some trade wins for British businesses and for the UK, and also not fall into the trap of being accused of cozying up too much and giving giving away on issues of national security. Keir Starmer's bringing a delegation of British businesses on the plane with him, including Jaguar Land Rover and GSK, and he's hoping to be able to announce a set of new areas of cooperation. So some deals on trade and migration, investment, health and climate change are the areas he is focusing on. The Prime Minister will have his big meeting with President Xi Jinping in Beijing on Thursday, and that will be the big focal point of the visit. And his message going into this trip is effectively that failing to engage with China would be like Britain sticking its head in the sand, and it would be a staggering dereliction of duty. So we're about to board the plane. We have just had our journalist huddle where we discuss which questions, we plan out the questions and topics that we're going to ask. The reason for doing that is there's quite a lot of journalists travelling together, and we effectively want to make sure that enough different areas are covered, and that Number 10 doesn't pre-select or focus on just a few questions. So we've just had that. We're about to board the plane, and I'll be bringing coverage from China throughout the trip.
She will indeed. And actually, when she lands, we'll find out what they actually spoke to the Prime Minister about on the plane. They get a huddle, as we were explaining yesterday, with him at somewhere in midair. And we'll find out what Keir Starmer said about a variety of subjects as soon as Anna lands, which we think probably about 10 o'clock this morning. We'll hear from her. The Times China correspondent Richard Spencer is, of course, already in Beijing, joins us now. Morning, Richard.
Good morning to you. Good afternoon from me.
Good afternoon. We kind of know what the UK wants, and it's economic investment, and it's to tread the line between being wary of China as a potential threat in certain respects, but actually do an economic deal. What does China want from this visit, do you think?
I think, in a way, China's already got what it wants, which is it wanted the British Prime Minister to come and visit. You know, China, like any other country, but particularly perhaps China, which is knows that it's periodically unpopular and is unpopular at the moment, certainly in Britain and quite a few other Western countries. It likes to be liked, and it hasn't been liked by Britain for a few years. Liz Truss particularly didn't like China and stopped visiting China. Theresa May was the last British Prime Minister to visit China. And so that idea of being excluded in some way or being snubbed doesn't go down well here. And so they want a slightly more normal relationship with Britain than they've had. I don't know if they think that they will ever have a golden era with Britain again. I don't know if they particularly want a golden era with Britain. But they certainly don't like the idea that they're being snubbed. So that's what they want. I don't think... I mean, the messaging you're getting from China at the moment is that there isn't very much Britain can offer it at the moment.
Yeah.
China is on a self-sufficiency drive. I don't think it has any particular interest in at a sort of governmental level in importing more Jaguar Land Rovers, for example.
You said last time we spoke that the visit hadn't even been confirmed at that point. Now it has been confirmed. I mean, he's on the plane. He's landing in about 4 hours' time. What's the most notable headline from state media? How are they pitching it?
So they are very pleased. I mean, they finally came out yesterday at the sort of fairly well timed in Britain, because even in Britain it wasn't sort of weirdly formally announced until the last 48 hours. So they came out yesterday. The foreign ministry confirmed the visit. Said it was a good step forward, and they looked forward to better relations in future. I'm just going looking for the actual formal wording, which I have somewhere here. But yeah, very much very positive, and in fact, here it is. Yeah. China is willing to take this visit as an opportunity to enhance mutual political trust with the UK, deepen practical cooperation, jointly open a new chapter in the healthy and stable development of China-UK relations, and work together to make due efforts and contributions to world peace, security and stability.
Right.
So I think that's pretty positive if we get world peace, security and stability out of it.
Yeah, it's good if it happens, as they say. Mutual political trust is interesting. When one of the stories in Britain is, of course, everyone, and I know this from our journalists on the plane, but it includes the Prime Minister, civil servants, they can't take their own phones with them. They can't take their own laptops with them because they think they'll be hacked and then spyware put in, and China will continue to use that after they come home again. I wonder, is it ever possible, and maybe it's just a diplomatic dance to ignore this, but can you ever have mutual political trust with a country when you can't take your phone there if you're the prime minister?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I do have a slightly cynical view of this, because I wonder where you can take your phone really and be absolutely sure it's not going to be hacked.
That's an interesting point.
China just has very good hacking tools. I think that's the honest truth. I suspect that American and British hacking tools are equally good. So I think it's very wise not to take their phones. I think they would be an attempt to hack them, and I think that has happened in the past. And so that's a very wise precaution. The issue, of course, is we don't know what China will do with the results of their phone hacking. I think, in a way, more important is the issue of what China does in Britain when it comes to national security. I don't know whether that's something that Starmer can really raise with China, but it does come into this whole embassy issue that we were talking about in the last couple of weeks. The question really is the Chinese influence operations, their attempts to influence, get hold of, get close to British opinion makers, British MPs, their attempts to monitor Chinese people when they're in Britain, particularly Chinese students. These are really important issues where there isn't a symmetry. Because, I mean, I assume that we're also trying to hack Chinese phones. I mean, we'd be dereliction of duty if MI6 wasn't also spying on China, I think. But that's something where I think there is an asymmetry, and that's something that we should be very alert to.
That's such a great point, Richard. We'll come back to you over the course of the visit. Interested in hearing your thoughts as ever. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers. That's Richard Spencer there, Times China correspondent. It's a great point in that, because that's the sort of thing that's going to be not mentioned very much or can't really be enacted. And maybe it's just pragmatism here, and we should look no further than this, Kate, to say that they don't want growth, the government. In order to get growth, you've got to deal with the second biggest economy in the world. And it's no more than just sensible business to do that. We'll have Ian Duncan-Smith on after 8 o'clock, who won't agree with that. But that appears to be the case that's being made.
There are, though, two very different views on China. I mean, one is that the Chinese economy is incredibly strong, and that they are a very good and stable business partner, and they are the place that we ought to look to for help with our own failing economy. But there is another, which is that, you know, the birth rate in China has dropped off a cliff. Growth is stalling. They are really struggling. You know, they're not in a particularly good situation, and it's precarious. So, I mean, it's difficult for China to be both of those things at once, to also be, you know, in a position where it wants to reach out to the world and form links with other countries, but also, you know, so powerful that we should worry about taking our phones there.
He was saying it wants to be self-sufficient. I'm sure that's right. I'm sure they're probably looking inward. They're big enough to look inward, first of all.
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose it's always the question with China. We sort of treat China in a very different way to other countries that we work with. And maybe there is that risk with other countries of them, you know, trying to get into our systems and trying to work out what's going on. I think that is a very good point. The question about saying it out loud, though, I remember being on a trip to Russia. I think the last one, which was Boris Johnson when he was foreign secretary, and being in a press conference with Sergei Lavrov and Boris Johnson, where Johnson was asked, "Do you trust the Russians?" Yeah. And Johnson's answer was, "Of course I do. I gave Sergei my coat as we walked into the building." And Lavrov immediately quipped back in English, "Yes, and I've already gone through the pockets." And, you know, there is always that tension there. Yeah. And sometimes that tension is acknowledged.
And maybe that's always been the case.
And I suppose that's what I'm saying. I think that sometimes it's okay to acknowledge that tension exists and to be able to work around it, which is what Starmer is saying. We need to be pragmatic. Yes, it does exist, but we can't pretend that China isn't a country that we have to deal with in one way or another.
No, why is China different to India? So India, massive country. I mean, we have colonial links with India. India is a more of a functioning democracy, though it has problems with human rights, it has problems with how that democracy functions. It is a growing economy. It has relations with Russia. It has different foreign policy aims than we do. But we trust India more than we trust China, maybe because it's a communist party, maybe because China has a greater track record of influence. We don't feel there's an Indian pervasive influence in Britain as we fear a Chinese pervasive influence?
I think that's true to an extent. I think there are questions about relations, our relationship with India, and that has been, the tension there has been around visas often in the past, but it's now also around the fact that India is refining Russian oil and pumping it into Europe, and Europe is buying it. And we covered that story on the programme yesterday, and the UK government is part of that. So there are always these tensions and compromises with countries. We just don't always acknowledge them as publicly as we are potentially now this week with this China visit.
Yeah, and that's what we'll be talking about this morning, I guess.
It is 19 minutes past six. Let's take a look at what's happening online and in the papers this morning. And at the top of the Times website, plus on its front page, a cracker of a story this, really shocking. Over 4 months, the Times has gone undercover to investigate Britain's immigration black market. Secret filming shows a mushrooming economy of unregulated agents who offer to arrange visa sponsorship for migrants for jobs that don't exist. The deals enable people to obtain visas by presenting sponsorship certificates issued by the real Home Office approved companies that they claim to be hired into genuine jobs, but those jobs don't exist. In fact, people are being paid money and then being asked to repay it into a different bank account. We'll be discussing this later on the programme with the chair of the National Care Association and founder of Providers Unite.
Over in the US, tensions remain high in the state of Minnesota after the shooting of VA nurse Alex Pretty on Saturday. Donald Trump has really rowed back it further overnight about it, although he's got himself a mess over guns, actually, as well, because he said he shouldn't be carrying a gun, which, of course, is not what a Republican American voter would like to hear. But in the last few hours, the Minnesota congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, who the President Donald Trump has repeatedly accused of fraud, she and he are real enemies of one another. She's been attacked with an unknown substance at a town hall she was hosting.
And DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment. I don't know.
Oh my God, he sprayed
something on her. Yeah, an audience member used a syringe to spray liquid at her. Omar was uninjured and continued to speak. The man was immediately arrested, not shot, and forensics are being conducted at the scene.
The BBC has apologised after its coverage of Holocaust Memorial Day omitted the word Jews. A lengthy Holocaust Remembrance Day segment ran on BBC Breakfast for about 7 minutes without mentioning either Jews or anti-Semitism, with the motivations of the Nazis also left unexplained. Lord Pickles, the former special envoy for post-Holocaust issues from 2015 until last year, said the failure to highlight Jewish victims in the introductions was a form of denial.
We're talking to the chief rabbi after 9:30 today. I don't know how you can have a conversation about the Holocaust without mentioning Jewish people. And why would you want to? I don't even understand that mentality. Is that trying to be PC? Is it saying, because there were other people murdered, you know, Roma were murdered, homosexuals were murdered, that's all true, but it was a pogrom against the Jews.
It's very hard to understand.
And this is what I'm talking about. Is that happening in schools? Is that sort of left-wing mentality that you're frightened of talking about what happens to Jews? It's extraordinary, really. Now,
we're going after a score at all these people now. We've got a dog, no boots, no crampons, no ice axe. So now we're making a path and leading them down because they can't carry on Striding Edge.
People who moan about the young, the youth.
Yeah, listen to this.
That is 16-year-old Caelan Blades, who, along with his friend 15-year-old Rowan Kay, rescued a group of adults from a mountain in the Lake District in heavy snow after one of them had a panic attack. The distressed group of five adults were dressed in trainers and jeans, with one woman carrying a small dog. As a rustic lady yourself, do you object to these tourists? Come in, don't respect the landscape.
I absolutely don't object to anybody wanting to go for a walk. I do think you have to be pretty daft to walk up one of the biggest hills, mountains in this country, with trainers and no proper coat, carrying a dog in the snow. I think you have to be pretty daft.
Well done then for rescue.
Congratulations to those two. Yeah, brilliant effort there. Finally, I want to tell you this story. A wheelie bin has washed up on the Dorset coast after making a staggering 5,000-mile trip across the Atlantic. Imagine the things he's seen. Beachcomber Ryan Stalker, who found the bin, later discovered that it originated from Baldwin County in Alabama. He later got in touch with officials from the area and was unable to uncover that the bin had been lost from Fort Morgan during Hurricane Sally in 2020. Do you know what the headline was in The Sun?
Go on.
Bin around the world. It's great, that. I think that's cracking.
Great story. Great story.
It is 24 minutes past six. Could depression be treated with brain stimulation? We'll hear about a new therapy next. This is Times Radio Breakfast with Stig Abel and Kate McCann in association with Nationwide, a good way to bank.
The State of It, USA, is the new podcast from The Times and The Sunday Times that brings you real truth about US politics and power. Join political heavyweights Katie Balls and Gerard Baker as they take a deep dive into the latest wrangles in the White House and bring you intelligent analysis and insight.
I went out on the road this week with the First Lady and we rode back in the motorcade.
No fake news, no flag waving, and no Trump derangement syndrome. Just the inside track on the decisions that are shaping America. The State of It USA is available now on the Times Radio app or from your preferred podcast provider.
On Booking.com, it's easy to book your holiday home. And thanks to flexible cancellation, there's no more.
Lodge is all booked, folks. Oh, Kaz and Rob are coming now.
With Booking.com, you're free to be flexible.
Oh, easy.
So you can go from home to holiday home with no dramas.
Bigger place booked.
On Booking.com, finding a holiday home is easy.
And relax.
Booking.com. Booking. Yeah.
Terms apply. Available on selected properties.
Okay, so for my ISA investment, should I pay a flat fee or a percentage fee? A percentage fee will get bigger as my stocks and shares ISA grows. But Interactive Investor's flat fee will stay the same, meaning I get to keep the money I make. Obviously.
It's raining.
For over 500,000 investors, the penny's dropped. Interactive Investor. I think, therefore II. Remember, when investing, your capital is at risk.
Now, I'm as guilty as anyone when it comes to ignoring things. Rogue grey hairs, red flags in relationships, or that service reminder on your car dash. Luckily, that one's easy. Visit Cinch for fat-free servicing at over 100 locations. Any car, whether you bought it from Cinch or not. With MOTs, $39.95 and servicing from only $129.95. To book your service or buy your next car, visit cinch.co.uk. See cinch.co.uk/servicing for details. Terms and exclusions apply.
Download the free Times Radio app and listen to us wherever you are.
Kate McCann and Stig Abel on Times Radio Breakfast with Nationwide. Partnered with Dementia UK to support those affected by dementia. To find out more, search Nationwide Fairer Futures.
Good morning. It is 6:26 now. People have been trying to use magnets to combat illness for more than 2,000 years. But for the last 10 years or so, we've known that what is called transcranial magnetic stimulation does help people with depression. Now, researchers from the University of Nottingham have shown that magnet treatments can be a cost-effective way to help people with depression. Edward Cox is the lead economist on the research and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is this treatment and how does it actually work?
Yes, so I'm so sure many people at home don't understand what a transmagnetic stimulation therapy is. So TMS is a non-invasive treatment that uses magnetic pulses to stimulate brain areas linked with depression. It's a bit like going to the dentist, except instead of a scaler and a suction tube, there's simply a coil placed above your head and it will gently hum and give, at most, a mild tapping sensation. Now, so far, access to TMS has been inconsistent, with most patients only able to access it for themselves via private treatment centres. So the study published today in the journal BMJ Mental Health attempts to answer a simple question. Does this treatment represent good value for money to the NHS and wider society? So in turn, should its provision be expanded more widely than it currently is?
But, Edward, can you just explain to us how it actually manages to do this? Because from what you've described, having a big coil sat above my head and maybe a gentle tapping, which some people might think is quite nice, how on earth is that reaching into your brain and affecting how people feel?
It's fascinating, isn't it? The fact that a therapy can work on a physiological basis for such a complex mental health problem. Now, what we found that compared to routine care was that TMS does provide more rapid reductions in depressive symptoms. So the findings from this study are based upon a recent randomized control trial called BrightMind that found around a third of people with treatment-resistant depression responded to TMS, with one in five achieving remission and one in five maintaining benefits for 6 months, which is a fantastic result in a treatment-resistant population.
But what's it actually doing? I mean, what is actually happening to the brain to make this treatment work?
Well, it's stimulating the areas of the brain which are not currently functioning as they should be. Now, the key of this research is less about the mechanisms of how it works, but rather we're extending beyond that BrightMind trial, which investigated many of the mechanistic factors. And we're trying to understand, well, is this good value for money? So we're seeing this evidence that it does work and it is stimulating the correct areas of the brain which we want it to be doing, as the treatment is designed to do. Now, we found that compared to routine care, TMS does provide these more rapid reductions in depressive symptoms. It eases pressures on wider NHS services. It can reduce informal care requirements for friends and families and helps people return to work.
Well, it sounds like a groundbreaking treatment. I'm sure lots of people will be really interested in it. Edward Cox, thanks very much for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thank you very much.
I know a little bit about this. Shall I tell you why?
Yeah.
Because in one of my crime books, which is coming out later this year...
What's it called?
It's called A Twist in the River. One of the methods of that appears in the book of destabilizing people, knocking people out, is transcranial magnetic stimulation. So they use it. It's quite common. It's quite an understood technology. But if it were to be supercharged, it could knock you out. Now, they never do that for this because it's a lower level. It's a lower level hump.
Is that what they think the secret weapon is that has been developed? Have you heard that about that story about Cuba?
Yes.
Is that what they think that is?
There's an idea that there's a thing that can just effectively black out technology.
And it also gives people incredible migraines and makes them feel really sick.
And there's an argument that the thing that effectively just blacks out technology could also just knock people out without touching them. Now, the stuff that they're doing, and doctors have known this for a while, and the Royal Academy about 20 years ago did a stage of demonstration where they could knock people out doing this, but ramping up to a really high level, yeah, you never do in treatment. So the idea for the treatment is, it just it without touching you,
it like tickles your brain a bit.
Exactly, it stimulates your brain. Mm. And the analogy I always said, it's like putting a coil into water that heats it.
Mm.
And so it's just it does something to your brain that just changes it in a way that may produce this result. It looks like it might help other clinical treatments as well.
I find this stuff fascinating, especially for depression. It's such a difficult condition to work out how to treat it well without just giving people antidepressants, which don't work for everybody and maybe are not a sustainable long-term solution
for
everybody.
I think about all this, because there's also this, there's talk therapy versus pills. And if you're the wrong sort of person, I think about this quite a lot, if you're the wrong sort of person and you're depressed, the idea of talking about it feels like a barrier in and of itself as well.
It's so interesting. Get in touch with us this morning if you've got thoughts on this. 0333 0003 2353. I have to say, I do love the fact that you are now sending in your thoughts on the bin that went across the ocean. Kate says, I love a good headline. Mike says, the story about the bin that crossed the ocean, surely that's a bin liner.
Bin liner? I actually think, Mike,
that's actually a better headline than The
Mike
Sun,
I think Mike has done a better job than The Sun, and we don't often say that. So what was The Sun headline?
Bin around the world.
Which is good. But bin liner has that moment where you go, oh, which is what you really get from a good headline. So, Mike, congratulations, and apply for a job at The Sun as soon as possible.
Exactly. Right, it's time for the news. The Science and Technology Secretary, Liz Kendall, will be with us after 7 o'clock this morning. And next, we'll get you your daily briefing on politics, business and sport after the headlines with Cara Bentley.
Across the UK, on DAB, online and on your smart speaker. This is Times Radio.
Thanks, Kate. Good morning. The Prime Minister says, like it or not, China matters, as he heads to Beijing to build trade relations between the two nations. Sir Keir Starmer will meet with business leaders before meeting President Xi Jinping tomorrow. It comes days after the government approved plans to have a controversial Chinese embassy in London. Shadow Business Secretary Andrew Griffith says the timing of the trip isn't great.
When the Prime Minister is on the ropes with things like his failed Chagos deal, which has real national security implications, giving or paying Mauritius, a Chinese ally, to take away an incredibly strategically important asset, I just think it's the wrong time for the Prime Minister to be going.
Dame Sarah Mullally will officially become the Archbishop of Canterbury at St Paul's Cathedral this morning. She was the Bishop of London, and before she entered the church, she was England's chief nursing officer. Rwanda has filed an arbitration case against Britain over the cancelled asylum deal, which was due to fly illegal migrants to Rwanda. Sir Keir Starmer scrapped the Conservatives' plan in 2024. Rwanda says Britain has breached the financial arrangements of the deal. The website Pornhub is restricting people using it in the UK because of new age verification checks brought in by the government. Only people who already have an account will be able to access the site. Its parent company, ALO, says updates requiring age verification had diverted children to darker, unregulated corners of the internet where personal information isn't needed. Don't forget, you can set the Times Radio news briefing as your news service on Alexa.
This is Times Radio.
On Booking.com, it's easy to book your holiday home. And thanks to flexible cancellation, there's no more.
Lodge is all booked, folks. Oh, Kaz and Rob are coming now. Oh.
With Booking.com, you're free to be flexible.
Oh, easy.
So you can go from home to holiday home with no dramas.
Bigger place booked.
On Booking.com, finding a holiday home is easy.
And relax.
Booking.com. Booking.com. Yeah.
Terms apply. Available on selected properties.
Download the free Times Radio app from the App Store or Google Play today.
Kate McCann and Stig Abel on Times Radio Breakfast with Nationwide. Which banking brand of the year 2025?
6:35, this is Times Radio Breakfast with Kate McCann and Stig Abel. Lots to discuss this morning. We're obviously keeping an eye on China. Keir Starmer's going to land in Beijing in about 4 hours' time. We just heard from Richard Spencer. China wants to establish a situation of mutual political trust with this country. At the same time that no one on that plane has brought their phone with them because they think China will just hack into it. It's a really intriguing problem, that, isn't it? Ian Duncan Smith's going to be here after 8 o'clock. He's very hawkish on the subject, but maybe pragmatism is just going to rule. What else do you expect the government to do other than do business with China is one question. Liz Kendall will be representing the government. She's got an interesting announcement because she wants to give every adult in the country 20 minutes. Is it 20 minutes?
20 minutes.
Of AI training. Which is kind of interesting because it recognises the how important AI is, but then maybe underplays how much you can do about it. Because if you've had 20 minutes of AI training, is that going to alter your job prospects?
I suppose it's better than no minutes.
Is it so much better than no minutes as to make a difference?
Well, we'll ask her.
Is an interesting question. But, you know, the spectre of AI, later on in the programme, we're also going to be talking about AI assistance, where you can effectively have a PA, but it's an AI PA, and therefore you have to share an awful lot of your stuff with them so they can run your life for you. Is this where this is heading? You know, there's a slight Luddite voice in this studio. There's a slightly reasonable voice in this studio. Where will we settle on AI after the end of the programme? Mark Rowley, who is the Met Police Commissioner, will be joining us after 8:30. If you've got any policing questions for him, we'll have him in the studio. Giles Corran and Jane Moore will be talking through the news after 9:00. Hugo Rifkin is here from 10:00. Here's an interesting China perspective. Lord Patton, Chris Patton, he was the last governor of Hong Kong. Remember all the promises China made about Hong Kong, which they then all broke? How much will Chris Patton think we should have a relationship of mutual political trust with China? Hugo Rifkin will find out after 10:00. Joe Coburn is presenting The Times at 1:00. And Jane and Fia back together presenting their show from 2:00.
It is 6:36. It's time for our daily briefing on politics, business and sport. Politics first with The Times Politics Newsletter editor Stefan Boscher. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, as we know, Anna Mikháilová and Keir Starmer are on that plane winging their way to China. But there's a story in the paper today about the fact that the government has had a bit of a setback over a big wind farm announcement that was expected to be made this week. What's going on?
That's right. So it was a nearly £1 billion deal of inward investment from Chinese company Mingyang into a wind factory, a factory to build wind turbines in Scotland. And it's a part of the UK's push. I mean, since Labour has come into government, they've been very open into capital from China coming in into the green industry, the government's pushing, particularly wind energy. It seems that this government is fairly relaxed on the idea of Chinese companies either owning wind farms or owning factories that build wind turbines and, you know, other key parts of the supply chain. Now, there are already real national security concerns about this deal, particularly because, you know, the idea that the UK, a large part of the UK's grid is made up by wind turbines and wind energy. If we have China that is a key part of these supply chains, and if we are in conflict with them, it'd be very easy for them just to turn them off, as we saw in Ukraine with Russia after the Ukraine war on gas. So it is another sort of question around whether the UK is accepting the right investment into the UK.
That is such a good point, and it's a really illustrative story, I think. Now the security services have been asked to provide a report for Number 10 into the risks involved in this deal, and they claim, of course, it was never going to be announced during this trip, but maybe we'll hear more about that when that plane lands in a few hours' time. Domestic politics, because that doesn't stop, even though the PM's out of the country. Angela Rayner says she's not dead yet. Is this a bit of a threat to the Prime Minister, do you think?
Well, look, I think that she's been very clearly on manoeuvres for some time now. I think that, you know, ever since about November last year, which is only a couple months removed from her resignation, she was very openly starting to get back into the political limelight and starting to, you know, basically begin a medium-term campaign to try to enter the cabinet. And this is another example. You know, I reported a few weeks back that she's on the trail of the so-called rubber chicken circuit of, you know, fundraisers done by Labour MPs, and she's been going to these, speaking at them, helping MPs raise money, which is seen as a way for you know, potential leadership candidates not only to curry favour with members across the country, but also get young MPs on side. So I think this is another example of her, you know, very clearly stating her intentions. Now, there is still the question of whether she wants to see a comeback just to the front line of politics, which she definitely does, or she has genuine leadership ambitions, which is still a question mark, because there will be a lot of scrutiny on any prime minister, and whether she wants that after a tax ordeal is to be seen.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair question to ask, Stefan. Is it a genuine return to politics, or is it a return to a much higher political office? We'll have to wait to find out. Just finally, another great news line coming out.